Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes. We got some good petties for this pettycast. I think you're going to enjoy this. Some good audio here. We do it every Tuesday. We highlight other people's pettiness. We highlight our own pettiness. We encourage you to text in things you're petty about, 713-572-4610.
You know what we should do? Oh, never mind. I was going to say pay homage to Tom Petty, who died this year, but he died 8 years ago.
Oh,
so there we go.
Oh, he's still
paying. For some
homage.
Reason, I felt like Tom Petty died this year. I always get him confused with O.J. Simpson. I guess that's the thing.
A lot of people do.
So, R.I.P. O.J. Simpson.
Yeah. O.J. Simpson and Tom Petty.
Or Tom Petty, whichever one it was.
Either one. I totally get them mixed up. Yep. So, I'm actually going to start, Seth, with one of my own petties here. And it's with our quarterback. It's with C.J. Stroud, who I love. He's the quarterback of the future here. He's awesome. Great dude. Great teammate. I don't need CJ. This video has resurfaced over the last several weeks.
Oh, yeah.
CJ Stroud on the sofa there with the $1 million worth of game podcast. He and Tank were on it.
Yeah.
And CJ listed his top five quarterbacks coming off of 2023, and here was the list.
Oh, no, I'm tripping. Let me go.
Tripping?
So, look, final five. I know what I'm doing, dog. Mahomes, Lamar, myself, Dak.
Joey B.
He didn't really play
last
year.
Off of last year.
And then it hurts.
That
boy. Y'all not going to say that because he ain't won the big
one. Okay, Byron, we don't need any more of this. They're going to argue over Dak for like 30 seconds.
Bills fans, I'm guessing, have been putting that up a lot.
Bills fans,
was Josh Allen not in the top five there?
I didn't hear Josh Allen
Dak
in there.
Above,
yeah.
You put Dak above Josh Allen. You know what? I've seen that referenced a bunch, and in my mind, I was just kind of hoping. Like, I didn't really think hard about it. I was like, it wasn't that bad. Yeah, no, it was just simple as that. He just flat out put him. The recommendation to young athletes is always that, A, whenever anybody asks you a power ranking question, just don't answer it at all. But, B, if you do answer it, say, like, all right, well, I'm not going to put myself, like, other than me. And then that's the way you get around it. And then you don't answer any specifics about that. You don't have to answer the power ranking questions. Never answer a power ranking question.
Okay, and if you're listening out there and you're taking Seth's advice, don't. Don't take Seth's advice. Power rank things every chance you get.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Content.
What's more cringy right this moment? That, which was done in fun, or the kind of backhanded pep talk that he gave to Caleb Williams early in the season?
I would say the pep talk he gave to Caleb Williams.
If Caleb Williams had gone on to be really, really good, it would feel worse, but it did not age well.
No, it did. Well, and it was a big topic of conversation literally the day after it happened. This top five that he did on this podcast, we played it last year, and I don't remember you or me or a ton of people being cringy at all about it at the
right.
time.
Right. The thing with CJ at the beginning of the year compared to where you stand now is, man, when you go back and listen to that and him giving the advice to Caleb Williams, it sounds like a seasoned veteran who, certainly wasn't going to go through a sophomore slump.
Right.
And then he had the classic sophomore slump. Now, you can debate about the reasons for it and everything else, but this will be regarded as a huge sophomore slump because he's just not nearly had the same performance as he did last year.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. Now, he has a chance in the playoffs here to, if they win a road game in the playoffs and get to the AFC title, that can erase in a lot of people's minds, especially if he's the catalyst for it and it's not winning the turnover battle by four or something like that. He's got an opportunity here. And this is where I'll give credit to CJ during the pettycast. I'm going to do this quick. I do think he's handled this year with a lot of maturity. I don't think he's been, attitude wise. I think it seems like he's been good, at least everything we see outwardly. But don't do these podcasts in the off season CJ, where you're listening. You're right, Seth. Like, CJ specifically, don't do this stuff. All you other
I would rather
athletes,
he go on an ayahuasca journey.
I would, too.
Than you know, be on any podcast.
All right, Tom Brady. Tom Brady had a chance to watch a Tom Brady commentated game this weekend because the Texans weren't playing. There are parts of Tom Brady during these broadcasts that are really, really good. The opening to this particular broadcast was not Brady's finest moment. After being asked by Kevin Burkhardt, you know, to kind of break down the two teams real quick, you know, the stand-up they do right there, where it's like one of the few shots you get of the announcers as they're, you know, laying out the game for you before kickoff, spoke in vague generalities about the Vikings. I'm like, all right, well, that wasn't, I'm not getting a whole lot off of this. And then he gave this bit of analysis about the Green Bay Packers.
Respond today. Yeah, it's a big road challenge. They've got four losses this year, Green Bay does. Two of them to the Lions, they're a good team. The Eagles, they lost to them, they're a good team. And they lost to the, who'd they lose to the other one? Anyway, they got a big opportunity today to go on the road and really a litmus test for what they're going to face in 2 weeks. Can't wait to watch.
Yeah, yeah. The other team they lost to was the team that they're playing that very game against is the Minnesota Vikings.
I will not be the one to be petty about anybody slipping on a name whatsoever. I will say, though, that given Tom Brady's reputation for preparedness, the opening comments are usually at least somewhat prepared. You've got bullet points or something. So I'll be petty in that, like, that's not the Tom Brady that I was led to believe would never show up unprepared for an opening drive. So that's the part. I can't skewer him for screwing up a name or not remembering something, but that's not the Tom Brady level of preparedness that I've come to love.
$37 million he makes. You got to know which four teams they lost to if you're going to bring that up as a point.
I wonder if he's trying to be looser, and maybe part of that is that, okay, all right, I'm just going to kind of go off the cuff more, which is advice I would give him. And then he would come back to the producer's booth and scream at me. You see that? You want me to go out there with no notes, you son of a bitch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
LFG. Let's go.
Throws down a random tablet somewhere.
Yes.
He just grabs a tablet out of somebody's hand and throws it down.
Some intern.
Give me a tablet to throw. I need everybody to see how angry I am.
Some intern's personal iPad. I'll buy you a new one, kid.
Pictures are on there.
Exactly. They're in the cloud. Don't worry about it. Shannon Sharp got big mad at Kirk Herbstreit this past week. So here's Kirk Herbstreit with Chris Fowler. Kind of takes a shot at First Take here. This is during the Ohio State-Tennessee game in the opening round of the college football playoff.
God forbid they lose to Oregon. They may want to fire him again.
But that's not reality. I mean, that's the thing. When you hear pundits on this network and other places talk about that with certainty, it's nonsense, frankly. I mean, the public doesn't pull the trigger and get rid of the coach.
No.
The administrators do, and they're behind them.
Yeah. First Take tried to fire him. They thought he was done. So I'll be excited to see what they talk about on Monday after this performance. They had him out. They're trying to find replacements.
Okay.
But here he is. Here he is. He's still got his hat on. He's still coaching.
Yeah, good enough. Ryan Day is who they're talking about there, the Ohio State head coach. Who, you know, and we should point out Herbstreit, an Ohio State Buckeye, who's probably pretty plugged in up at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Almost kind of scoffing at First Take a little. I think that's at least how Shannon Sharp took it. Here was Shannon Sharp a day later on First Take.
Even though I'm going to let it slide, I'm going to be a good teammate. I'm going to let it slide. Everybody's at ESPN. Because had you not taken the route you taken, I would have lit their ass up. But I'm going to let it slide. You know what, guys? Congratulations, Ohio State. You won the game. But, hey, if we're going to be on the same team, if we're going to work for the same network, don't do that. Kurt, Chris Fowler, I promise you, if you ever mention anything, any platform that I'm on again and talking about, I wonder what they're going to say in negativity, I promise you, ESPN ain't got enough bosses to keep me off y'all for what I'm going to say. So I'm going to let y'all slide today. I'm going to turn it over to D.O. before I get myself in trouble. But don't play with me. Go ahead, D.O.
Okay, we're good. D.O. is Dan Orlovsky there.
I saw a lot of people say, like, okay, I don't know why Shannon Sharp got so offended. Right. It was almost the lack of direct confrontation. It was the way they were kind of... They were speaking very dismissively about First Take and basically saying you shouldn't take them seriously, but then also made worse by I honestly feel like Shannon Sharp would have been less offended if they had said, like, Shannon's wrong about this, blah, yeah. blah, blah. But they wouldn't even do the respect of saying their names. That's I could see why Shannon got upset. And then especially because it's somebody on your own network. But I do wonder whether ESPN, you know, going back to Pat McAfee calling out the ESPN execs and everything. Yeah. I wonder if they like a little bit of the WWE side of this, where it's more, it's clicks, it's views, it's 100%. All of that. If you can get that kind of drama going.
I wonder.
I don't know if it's even something that like ESPN would have directed them to do, but yeah. they might be like, oh, this will be an interesting development to monitor.
When I listen to this, I'm like, okay, what exactly is Shannon, like if there is a next time and they do this again, Herb Street and Fowler, like what is the threat here? Is he just going to light them up verbally? Like, is he going to go beat them up? Like what? I'm just wondering like what's the actual threat going on here?
It felt, yeah, exactly. Well, or just, I think for Shannon in his mind, it would be, he would launch an all out assault against them on social media and try to make their, I mean, that's violence these days, is that he would make it as miserable as possible. Yeah. The point where Herb Street's getting booed and just screamed at everywhere he goes on College Game Day.
Yep.
And I feel like Shannon could pull it off.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. No, Shannon, yeah. Shannon Sharp has the capacity to be a WWE performer when it comes to the verbal part of it.
I'll tell you what, it honestly kind of reminded me a little bit of just like different people have different communication styles, and sometimes it's culturally based, and there's an element there of where Herb Street didn't feel like he was really keeping it real. He was like trying to throw shade, you know, instead of just coming right out with it.
He was passive-aggressive.
Trying to be clever about it, yeah. versus like somebody in the locker room is going to be like, no, say what you mean to say.
Right, right, yeah. right. Kirk Herb Street.
Come on, be a man about it.
Herb Street was passive-aggressive. Shannon yeah. was threatening to be aggressive-aggressive.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Sometimes the guys that grow up in more of like a type of environment, when they're confronted full force with like, hey, your country club insults don't fly here.
Yeah.
It's always interesting.
That's what I was hearing. Yep. Pettycast, Charles Barkley does not like the city of San Francisco.
Because even when the Warriors, and I hate the Warriors fans in San Francisco, but they were amazing in Oakland.
Yes.
They were tremendous. Even when they were good with Chris Mullin and the Hardaway and Mitch Richmond, they were terrific. Yeah, they were great. And when the Warriors weren't any good. And when they were in Oakland, they were fantastic. Now, I hate them in San Francisco because that's the armpit of America. But there's certain cities.
The armpit of America, San Francisco?
Yes, it is.
No,
yes,
what
it
are you
is.
Talking about?
Yeah, the armpit
that
of America.
Gross. That's
yeah.
not
what
even
a perfect time to remind you that TNT has the All-Star game.
I'll take
in
Sacramento.
San Francisco.
I'll take Sacramento over San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Yes. I will take Sacramento, California.
Leeds, no. Alabama.
No, San Francisco is the armpit of
you'll get,
America.
You'll get to say hi at the All-Star game.
It's not even close.
Well, let me get all my artillery ready. Can't walk around there.
Charles is
there's
the best.
Can't walk around. Well, yeah, because of the people. I guess, yeah, he's trying to displace San Antonio. He probably likes going to San Antonio, and he's tired of people being angry at him there. I will say this about San Francisco. San Francisco has some of the most little pockets of just delightful, beautiful places to be. Of all the Super Bowls that we've gone to, including New Orleans,
yes.
The only place I've had to literally dodge poop on the sidewalk, yeah. like as a, I had to like take a serpentine route to the stadium every day on my walk, was San Francisco.
Yeah.
There's like literal poop everywhere, not Great Dane poop.
No,
it just it's
there was people poop. I was on that trip too. That was in I think 2015 season. Yeah. I think is when that was. And if you remember, we stayed at a hotel where if you wanted to not take the serpentine route, as you call it. You just go down this alleyway. This alleyway went straight to the Convocation Center where Radio Row was. The problem was it was almost like playing a video game where the idea was to step over as many homeless people as you possibly could. If you were allowed to score points based on the number of homeless people you stepped over, you scored major points walking down that alleyway because there were a ton of them.
I was with an acquaintance of mine from another station in another city, but who... you know, this was before, I don't think it was, I think medical marijuana was legal in California at that point, mm-hmm. but not recreational. For the first and only time in my life, I was part of somebody buying drugs from a stranger on the street. And I'm amazed that he pulled it off because I could not have looked more like a rookie cop who was nervous as hell. Now, I was nervous because I was like, hey, what the hell's going on here, yeah. man? What are you doing? And so I looked nervous and scared, but with my fresh, clean shave and my physique, I can't believe that that must have been the dumbest drug dealer on earth. Obviously, I was a cop. There's no way he shouldn't have thought I was a cop.
Oh, my God.
I was so nervous. Oh. I looked like I was definitely a rookie cop. And I was paranoid about it for like 2 days. Oh. I was like, what if there was security footage?
You know, the Super Bowl is coming back to San Francisco.
And I can't even buy drugs on the street unless I go to the hard stuff.
That's right. That's right.
Kids, I didn't smoke any of the marijuana. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. It was like an after school special, Sean.
Yeah.
And in the after school special, I would have ended up getting taken to juvie, and it would have been a cautionary tale about choosing who you consort with.
Yes.
Other person's doing quite well, by the way, right?
Are they? Yeah.
They were already doing quite well, and now they're doing astoundingly well.
Do you remember the after school special that had Scott Baio in it? I think it was called like Stoned or something like that.
Yeah.
It made it out like he smoked weed in junior high, and it made it seem like he was shooting heroin in the hallways at school. You know what I mean? Like he was the worst kid ever because he was smoking weed, which back in 1981 or whenever it came out, that was sort of the vibe back then. A lot different now. Text message, CJ's question next year will be rank the top 15 quarterbacks, not the top 5. Success obviously went to his head.
Success. Oh, went to his head.
I thought
he said wins you his head.
No.
Maybe kind of the same thing. Oh, yeah, his head was deviant. It's a constant battle, man.
Yeah.
There's nothing harder than handling success and adulation. I think people thought that Nick Saban all those years was exaggerating when he called it rat poison. When I think in Nick Saban's mind, no, especially in the college age, but really at any age, It's rat poison. It will kill you. It will kill your hopes and expectations and everything else because you lose an edge if you feed into it too much.
That'll be the theme of training camp next year. I was thinking about that in the last couple days. Like, okay, what? Because we remember just how like over the top jubilant training camp was this year. All these new guys. Diggs is here and Danielle Hunter, Joe Mixon. Man, this is it, man. This is a new. The Texans are going farther than they've ever gone before because of this group out here on the field. And now the feeling is like they'll be lucky to go as far as they went before. And I think that's going to be the theme in training camp next year is like, okay, this needs to be, we can't, even if they make some big acquisitions, which they probably do need to make a couple if they're going to get to where they want to go. I still think there's going to be a lot of hope. And I think there's going to be a lot of people like there were last year. But I do think that there will be a tone with the team that like, players, coaches, everybody, like, tamp it back a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Compared to last
year. Yeah, and maybe it's the kind of things like that happen with your own kids. There's some lessons that they have to learn on their own. And the guys who are your really young players, but who are also the leaders of your team, need to learn that lesson. Not that they would have preferred it worked out this way, but that I think that's naturally going to happen.
Yeah.
And I don't think I do think CJ makes a conscious effort to try to stay humble. It's just that there's some things that Coughlin used to drill this into our heads, that it did not matter who you were, you always have to have somebody that's a truth teller for you, and that you always have to be on guard for any kind of complacency. That's why Coughlin was the better you were with Coughlin, the more miserable it was.
Because he
was just, he did not, man, if you had a big victory, it was going to be a miserable week of practice.
Yeah.
Because he did not want you feeling too good about yourself.
Yep. I don't mind that style at all. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, it's New Year's Eve, last day of the year. Biggest Houston sports story of 2024. I've got mine. Texture's in. Seth, I'm curious what you think. I've got six listed here. I'm curious what you think of my list of the six biggest stories, Houston sports stories of 2024. We'll do that coming up next.